Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day, if that title applies to you. We hope that you have a good day, and we are just pleased to have everyone here, both in person and online. My name is Darlene Rains, and I'm your liturgist today. And we welcome everyone in our worship, including children and young people. And our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ and impact the community through faith in action. We're excited today, too. We're going to have three people to join our congregation, and we'll be doing that a little bit later in the service, but we want to give thanks and welcome them. I guess Edgar has survived conference.
Yes, ma'am.
And Christina. But that's always kind of a challenging time, but a fruitful time, we hope. Journey is going to meet Monday, the Journey team, on Monday, tomorrow, the 22nd at 2. And our pastor parish relations team is going to meet on Tuesday at 6 in the fellowship hall. So if you're part of the pastor parish committee, that's an important committee if you'll make a note of that and for your attendance. And then Pastor Edgar's going to be doing some acolyte training in the month of June and July, if anybody's interested in doing that. I don't think there's any other announcements that
except the barbecue on November 6th, if you can.
Oh, okay. I think the men set the barbecue with date November the 6th when they met this morning. So start thinking about that. I'll be here before you can turn around good. And please take note of these beautiful flowers today, red and white. They're given in honor and memory of fathers. It's by the United Women in Faith. And if the oldest father here today is to take these beautiful flowers home and enjoy them for days to come. But anyway, we hope we have somebody that will admit they're the oldest father. Anyway, is there anything from the congregation? Any announcements? Any thoughts? Okay. Well, if not, we'll go ahead and start our call to worship. And as usual, I'll be the leader and read, and if you will follow with the people. Through many dangers, toils, and snares,
we have already come.
Through days of joy and nights of fear,
we have traveled this far by faith.
Through life, through death,
Christ walks with us.
We are not alone.
Thanks be to God.
In this promise,
let's worship God together.
And now, if you will join with me in the opening prayer. Holy One, come to us now in this time of worship. Be present in our lives that you may hear our cries and speak to our souls. Give us your strength that we may live all the days of our lives in steadfast faith and love. Amen. And as you are able, if you will please stand and join us in our gathering hymn on page 717 in our red hymnal, the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
It's true.
affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From this shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us remain standing for the litany for Father's Day. For fathers everywhere who have given us life and love, that we may show them respect and love. Holy God, hear this prayer for our fathers. For fathers who have lost a child through death, that their faith may give them hope and their family and friends support them.
Holy God.
For men who may or may not have children of their own, but act like a father to someone in need of advice, support, nurturing, and love. Holy God, hear this prayer for our father figures. For fathers who have been unable to be a source of strength, who have not responded to the needs of their children and have not sustained their families. Holy God, have mercy on absentee fathers. For new fathers, full of hope. For longtime fathers, full of wisdom. For fathers yet to be and fathers soon to be. Holy God, hear our prayer for the fathers of your church. For those who have shaped our lives without claim of family or kinship. For those who have taught us, guided us, shaped us, and molded us into servants of Christ our Lord. Holy God, hear our prayer for the fathers of our faith. God of our Father, in your wisdom and love, you made all things. Bless these men that they may be strengthened as Christian fathers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all God's people said. Amen. Amen. You may all be seated. Well, I greet everyone in the name of our God, who is our Father, our Son, and our Holy Spirit. Because today is also fourth Sunday of after Pentecost. We are still in this long season of Pentecost. And over the course of this season of Pentecost, God is reminding us that He is with us. He's with us through the Advocate, and that is the Holy Spirit. And I'm blessed, we are blessed to be the people of the Pentecost. So this morning, where have we seen the Spirit at work in our lives lately? Where have we seen experience of Holy Spirit moving in our lives lately? Also, for those of you worshiping with us online, we invite you as well to respond to that question. And you can put that on your chat room as well. The rain, thank God we got a little bit rain this past week.
I think the beautiful celebration of life, John Allison
Buckley. Amen, thank God. It was a reunion. It was an intersection of faithfulness and generosity and grace and love and compassion. Thanks be to God for John's life. I'm so glad to be with my two good colleagues, Pastor Carol and Pastor Caroline, who were there. We had some wonderful reconnectedness back, and how God is how their lives were shaped by the life of Brother John. So it was just a joy for me to come alongside, especially with Pastor Caroline, in leading the service last Friday. We had a good talk because we drove almost 2 hours from Greenville one way and then come back again. And when we preachers are all together in the same car, you got a lot of things to talk, right? Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. We have received the news that one of our members, Margie Pendergrast, passed away. She was a member of this church, and our prayers are with Wayne, her beloved husband, for me. And we will be certainly holding them in prayers in this time of loss and grief. Any other witnesses? It was. I guess we don't need any sound equipment, right? thank God. Thank you so much, Joni, for sharing that. We thank God for the North Carolina Annual Conference that was held. We will hear a little bit of reflection from Nancy on that part. I think we will be doing it at the latter part, so I'll. But let's go ahead and pray together and lift up all the concerns in our hearts this morning. We take prayer so seriously here at Plank Chapel. We have a prayer group that meets every Wednesday. It was a small prayer warriors, but it's spirit-filled, and we take names so seriously. All these names are being lifted up to God. And I just want to thank the Lord for all the prayer warriors who are joining with me online and praying for all these names. I'm so glad to see Bryant at the men's breakfast today. So glad to see the men's continue to strengthen their faith together and preparing themselves for this barbecue on November the 6th. So please begin to mark that on your calendar ahead. And let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for the earthquake in the Philippines and the peace in the Middle East. Let's pray for each and every one of us. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Holy God, we come here this morning, hearts full of joy and thanksgiving. We thank you, Father God, for the love that has been shown by you, who is our Father in heaven. Thank you for the compassion and care for each one of us this past week. Thank you for the rain. Thank you, Lord, for the celebration of life for our dearly beloved John. Thank you for the great crowd here gathering on this life celebration for him. Lord, we know that all good and perfect things come from you. We thank you, God, for healing Bryant. We thank you for ways on how you have been our constant companion in time of loss, in times of grief. As we pray for the family of Margie Pendergrass, that you will be with her, Lord, in this very difficult time. Be with Wayne and remind each one of them, Father God, that you are a God who is our constant companion, our advocate, the one who never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I want to thank you for our recently concluded North Carolina Annual Conference 2026. We thank you for the movement of God among your church here in the North Carolina Conference. We thank you, Father God, for all the leaders. Thank you for all the faithfulness and ministries that you entrusted to us. Father God, as we come here this morning, whatever things that are weighing in our hearts, whatever anxieties or fears, reports of the doctors, health, relationship problems, finances, we place them at the foot of your cross. We pray for this community, O God, that is in need of Jesus. May we be the Jesus in this place as we show the love of Christ in this neighborhood and beyond. We pray for the unity of our nation. We pray for the earthquake in the Philippines, the peace in the Middle East, those who are hungry and thirsty, those who are vulnerable, those who are experiencing marginalization and injustice. Father God, as we come to be the church today, may we always fix our eyes on you, the one who is able, the one who is our chief cornerstone, the one who invites us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, hear now these words of assurance. Rejoice, for you have been called and made whole by the love of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As reconciled people of God, I invited you all to greet your neighbor. Just say to your neighbor, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and the response, and also with you. And you can do waving hands and whatever you feel comfortable.
Rocks and trees. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Nancy Gustafson, and I was really blessed, along with Pastor DeJesus and Christina, to be able to attend the North Carolina Conference of the United Methodist Church this week. And I just wanted to give you a brief overview of the things that really touched my heart. I learned that the UMC is entering into a full communion agreement with the Episcopal Church. The United Methodist Church voted to do this in 2025, and the Episcopal Church will vote for it on July of 2027. And the Episcopal Church has already partnered with the Lutheran and Moravian churches, and all of these churches share such close spiritual Christian values and ties that the partnership will move them toward a fulfilling Jesus' call to unity and allow all the pastors to work across the rural communities more effectively. I also learned, which I was privileged to previously, but they made it official that our district manager, David Joyner, will be moving from our Heritage District to the Capital District on July 1st, and our new district manager will be the Reverend Gloria Winston. They had several really pertinent partnerships, and one was with the Lumbee Tribe, and they gave an outstanding presentation. They came in dressed in full regalia and sang and put on a program for us. And I learned during that time that there's a longstanding historic connection between the United Methodist Church and the Lumbee Indian Tribe that goes way back prior to 1855, when the circuit riders were actually ministering to the Indian people in the area. And in 1855, the United Methodist Church established the Robeson Circuit so that the circuit riders could specifically serve the Indian members. That led to three churches in that area being established by the Lumbee Tribe. They have the First United Methodist Church in Pembroke, the Branch United Methodist Church in Lumberton, and the Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church in Rowland. In 1885, the state of North Carolina officially recognized the Lumbee people as an Indian tribe, and for the next over 150 years, they've been trying to establish an independence through the Congress. And in 1956, the Congress acknowledged them but prohibited them from receiving any federal benefits or services. So the United Methodist Church has been working really closely with them over the last 170 years. And finally, Sunday morning, the Reverend Matthew B. Locklear of the tribe, he's the chairperson of the Committee on Native American Ministries, he spoke on Sunday morning and said that in December of 2025, finally, President Trump secured full federal recognition through the Lumbee Fairness Act, and they were really grateful and happy for that. Once again, I was able to witness what a strong tie Pastor Edgar has to the international Methodist community. He has several friends there, and it was really, he introduced me to them, and it was really wonderful to see his strong connection with that. I had two highlights of the conference that I really would love to have you go in and look at if you have a chance. One was the UNC Jazz Ensemble performed. They're out of Chapel Hill. They performed during the Juneteenth celebration on Saturday, and this was a world-class jazz band. They were just fabulous. And then on Sunday, the Reverend Michael Curie presented the scripture lesson in the sermon during the service for the ordering of the ministry, and he was funny and just full of love, and it was a really fantastic sermon. I'd love to have you see that if you could. And last but not least, our church was presented from the North Carolina Conference of the United Methodist Church Congregations for Children an honor certificate for our work with children. And they have another certificate that they would like to have us give to the school that we are most closely aligned with, and I'm going to ask Donald Rose if she would take that and fill that out. And as part of that presentation, they gave us this Helping Hands of Jesus. It was really a nice honor. So thank you for letting me go. It was a very positive 3 days. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Nancy, and thank you, Christina, for joining us on this 3-day, 2 nights, I would say, holy conferencing with almost 2,000 members of clergy and lay members of more than 400-plus churches in the eastern part of our state. I also, with humility and praise and thanksgiving to God, and I believe you all know it's official, the Lord is going to be bringing us back here again on our fourth year here. As you all know, the bishop and the cabinet, until yesterday, everything is still yet to be confirmed, but thank God that we're excited to be back by the grace of God here at Plank Chapel and Bethel Church on their fourth year of serving God. And we can't wait to see what God has in store for us as we join with the Holy Spirit. Join with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit is already at work. We are just jumping in and working with the Holy Spirit to what the Holy Spirit will do to advance the kingdom of God through His church here at Plank Chapel and at Bethel Church. Now we're going to invite our ushers to come forward as we offer our gifts and tithes to the Lord. Oh, generous God, what more can we say? Thank you. Thank you for you've always been there with us and among us in the goodness and tough times of life. Thank you for the generosity of life and resources and dwellings and all things that we have been receiving in our lives today. As an act of our worship to you, Lord, we offer these gifts of tithes and offering. Accept this, O God, and use this in the furtherance of your kingdom. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please remain standing if you're able as we join another wonderful hymn, number 454. You may all be seated. I'd like to invite those that are going to be part of our reception for new members to please join with us, and also our candidates that are joining with us. Would you please come and join with us? I'm also going to invite Ms. Darlene, who is our membership secretary, and also Brother Ron, who is the chair of the Pastor Parish Relations Committee. For our congregation, I would like to invite us all to open on page 33. First of all, it's been such a joy just to see Joni and Beth and Chuck here among us. Amen. Shall we give hand first to God? Let's kind of loosen this up a little bit and make it less formal. We are indeed blessed that you are finally becoming part. When I had a chance to meet with them, I told them that here at Plank Chapel, our goal is to make disciples. Amen? Amen. Our goal is to make disciples, not necessarily members. Because the Bible says, make disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the great commission. If they become members, then that is a bonus. That is a result of what God has done through them. And I think they are here to celebrate and to affirm that, to acknowledge that they are wanting to be a part of this beautiful, beloved community called Plank Chapel. So thank you, Miss Joni. Thank you, Beth and Chuck, for making this a step of faith and to join with God and with the Holy Spirit in what God has to do for all of us. Let's find ourselves opening on page 33 on the first section, and then we're moving on the next section. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty act of salvation and given new birth through water and spirit. And all this is God's gift offered to us without any price. Since Joni and Beth and Chuck are joining us by transfer of membership, so we're not going to go over with the renunciation and profession of faith. They've already been baptized, praise God. They've been actively engaged in their previous church that they have served. And I tell you, they have more understanding in the way of the polity and the history and the way church works. And I've been blessed by just having an active engagement and conversation with each one of them. So we're going to go to that section that has to do with the reception into the United Methodist Church. So I'm using a book of worship, so just flip it over in the next couple of pages in the sections for the reception into the United Methodist Church. So I'm going to ask these questions for you, Joni and Beth and Chuck, and your response should be, I will, okay? As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries?
I will.
As members of this congregation, will you be faithfully participating in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service? And there was one other word that was added in a 2020 General Conference, and that word is witness. Before we have this commendation, I invite us all to extend your right hand. We're going to pray for all of them. Holy God, we thank you for you called disciples into your beloved community from the beginning of times. And even now you have called these disciples as well. Lord, we pray for the anointment of your Holy Spirit on Joni, on Beth, and Chuck, as they remember their baptism, as they remind themselves of the work of the Holy Spirit in each of their lives. May they live as a faithful followers of Christ as they continue on to journey with your Spirit in growing, in thriving, in serving. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Before we have this commendation, I just want to give time, a little bit time for Joni and Beth and Chuck to just say just few words as to what this means for you. Joni, just go ahead.
Well, happy Father's Day. I guess I'm your present. and I thank you for letting me become part of this church. As you know, I had a near-death experience, and I really didn't know everybody this well here, but from the time I came back from the hospital and during the hospital, I understand from people telling me, people were bringing me things. I didn't even know who these people were, but everybody from the church was coming to the house and checking on me and bringing me suppers and everything. I was so overwhelmed with love. So I knew that this is where I belong. So I thank you for letting me be a part of this wonderful church. Stop that.
I think Scott's going to hand you a microphone just for the sake of our online community. That is, we have an online community, so go ahead.
I'm just glad that we found Plank Chapel. We're very happy here. Everybody is so nice and welcoming, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
You got to say more than that.
So friends, members of the household of God, I commend Joni and Beth and Chuck to your loving care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. Join together. We give thanks for all that God has given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And I believe we have something for you from the church.
Yes, we have some little goodie bags for each one of you. I know you'll be thrilled.
Joni, this is your certificates, and Mary, thank you. Congratulations, Charles. And we have this book that I got from the conference by Adam Hamilton entitled The Walk. I'm going to give this to you, Joni, and for you all. Welcome again, and we'd love to have you stay after the service and maybe join with me there at the dismissal with blessings. People can give you a warm hugs and embrace as they officially kind of welcome you here. So let's give a hand to God for each one of them. Hey. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Congratulations. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, Ron. Thank you. What a joy. This is almost like a preaching itself. So let's join our voices together for the prayer for illumination as we prepare our hearts to hear the word of God. Gracious God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love and strength to follow on your path you set before us through Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, I invite us all to open on our scripture lesson this morning, which found on Ephesians chapter 2. For those of you worshiping with us online, we invite you to open as well your scripture and your Bible. Our reflection this morning is found beginning on the 19th verse. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Later on, I'll read a portion of this from the New Message, which I really love. But for now, we're reading the New Revised Standard Version. Hear now the word of the Lord. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone,
In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last week, I started a new sermon series entitled, what's that title? Better Together. Can you say that with me, church? Better Together. As Christians, our faith is not just a personal journey, but rather it's also a collective experience that thrives on togetherness. It is my hope and prayer that throughout this sermon series, we will all be challenged to foster relational connections within and outside of our church family and reach out to our friends and our neighbors and build authentic relationships that connects people with the love of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Speak to us again your solemn word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and may I be out of the way. And may your word become a living word for us, relevant in our everyday life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you likes to always ride on elevators? Nope. I didn't see any hand. It's not surprising because elevators are unusual places, aren't they? Especially crowded elevators. There's one time I was there inside an elevator. It was just packed like sardines. Close to people you've never met. And you really not gonna try to touch them all. And nobody talks to each other either. You cannot look at anyone. In fact, you don't look anywhere except up. Watching the numbers light up. And have you ever noticed two people walking into an elevator talking? But once they enter the elevator, they stop talking. Strange things goes on in elevators. I'm saying this because in many respects, the elevator is a microcosm of our world today. A large, impersonal, kind of bubbled institution where anonymity, isolation, and independence are today's realities. People can be surrounded by other people in a crowded setting and not experience a sense of community. We can be part of a company, a club, or even a church and not feel we belong or accepted. Have you been there, church? I don't know if I shared this with you, but Judy and I went to a big downtown, big non-denominational church in Hillsboro. I still remember that place. We were given that one Sunday day off when I was in my first few years of my first church that I served. So we are excited to go to this non-denominational church because Judy had this upbringing of, you know, more Pentecostal, more kind of raising up the hands kind of service. So that's where we all tried to look for. But when we get there, we felt that we are not in the right place. We felt that we did not belong. It's like we came in and came out invisible. I'm sure some of us have experienced this one way or the other. See, we can share a carpool, we can share offices, or we can even be in a home and not have this kind of significant, authentic relationships. Almost half of the Americans today, as I've said last week, are lonely and isolated. There's an epidemic of loneliness and isolation across the world today. And this is not just a statistics up there. We already have verified that here in the Kittrell community, based from our Connect Church survey that we did in 2024, when we found out that loneliness and social isolation are on the top of the list
list of current needs in our communities. We're not talking here about solitude, because solitude is good, right? We need to be away. We need to take time off. I'm sure many of us were going to take a break. You're going to go by yourself. You want to be alone in the oceans or in the mountains. That's completely different from what we're talking about here. You can be alone without being lonely. Jesus often withdrew, and he always goes to the wilderness to be alone. That's exactly different from what loneliness, the epidemic of loneliness and isolation that we're experiencing today. Years ago, there was this young Hollywood star. I don't know if you remember that. She apparently got everything that the world offered, but she ended up ending her life. And you know what? In a brief note that she left this simple explanation on a piece of paper that she was, and I quote, unbearably lonely. See, church, you can be lonely in a crowd. Sometimes crowd even only enhances those loneliness. In every Sunday morning congregation, there are some very lonely and isolated people out there. Loneliness can makes you cut off, unnoticed, unloved, uncared, unneeded, and maybe even unnecessary. And yet God did not create us to be that kind of people. Loneliness and isolation and being cut off, they're not part of our original DNA. God did not create us to be lone rangers or living in isolation to one another. In fact, God created us for relationships. At the beginning of time, God said it was not good to be alone. He said that on Genesis chapter 2, verse what? Verse 18. So you have to put that on your note. The Bible from the very beginning said, God said it was not good for us to be alone. So he gave us relationship. And much of that we're here to gain, right? Learn and experience from healthy relationship as a reflection of the kind of connection God wants us to be with. And that's what I saw yesterday, Friday, in the funeral, just like what Joni, you said. Why people are here, but why make them appear only on funeral? Why is it that they're only showing up at funeral? Why we have empty spaces here? See, church, we are created for relationship because God is a relational God. God lives among the three mysterious parts of this triune God, who is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And with each other, so God communicates with us through the power of the relationships. When Jesus was asked the most important commandment, he talked about one's relationship with God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he pointedly indicated that one's relationship with fellow neighbors is a close second. In other words, relationships are at the core of our Christian living. There's no such thing as a Christian lone ranger. Can we hear amen, church? There's no such thing as a Christian living by himself or herself. I've seen people who tried to do that, and it was just miserable. They died lonely. Cut off from the very community that God created them to be. Our lives are made not only of our personal journey with God, but interpersonal relationships formed with other human beings. We are designed from the very beginning to be social creatures.
He knew that we would need relationship and would need intimacy with others to fully function the way that God created us to live. Our scripture lessons, the Paul's writings from the community in Ephesus, tells us that we are not only created for relationships, but we are better off, here this church, better off because of our relationships. It is relationships that will benefit each other. He launched this on Ephesians chapter 19 when we hear these words from Apostle Paul. So then you are no longer, what did he say there? You are no longer, come on church, go back to your word, no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God. I think we have to go back and see the context of what's going on. What's the context of this text? Why Paul is writing these words? Well, here's the little background of this to fully understand the words. See, the Jews and Gentiles here in this time of so complex season in the life of the church, they're not getting along well. There were disunity among them. It was culturally unheard of Jews and Gentiles coming together. It's like mixing oil and water. You cannot mix oil with water, right? That's exactly the description of Jews and Gentiles. They don't meet eye to eye. And that's where they felt being strangers and aliens and foreigners, which means, according to Paul, in Greek word, it means outcast, living on the fringes. Well, let's stop here for a while and just reflect. Have you felt being a stranger before? Have you felt being on the fringes before? Like you feel you're not part, or you don't belong, or you're not from here, right? Oh, you don't belong here. The Message version of this particular text, I love the word Eugene Peterson says when he said these words on the Message version. You can just Google that when you get home. And he says like this, that's plain enough, isn't it? You are no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You are no longer strangers or outsiders. And hear this church, what Eugene Peterson used this language here. You belong here. Can you say that with me, church? You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. End of quote. Think about those moments in time wherein someone will tell you when you feel you are an outsider, when you feel you are being ostracized for whatever reasons, and then somebody you hear God telling you, you belong here. Isn't that what the church is? Amen? Isn't that what the body of Christ looks like? See, church, we are created for relationships, and because of that, everybody belongs. All belong. That leads me to the second point. Because we are no longer strangers or foreigners, according to Apostle Paul, it is Jesus Christ who is our chief cornerstone. Here's what he says in verse 20. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. The emphasis here is in the word cornerstone. In the ancient architecture, before the foundation was laid, the cornerstone was placed. And the Bible uses the cornerstone as a vivid picture of how Jesus should be the cornerstone of our lives. How this cornerstone bridge the differences between Jews and Gentiles, and how they can be able to come together to create this interesting thing called relationships. Isn't that what we are called to be today? That we find ourselves having Jesus as the chief cornerstone. And as a result of that, we are no longer strangers or foreigners. We are no longer aliens or exiles. But we find ourselves coming together, belonging to one another, right here in the name of Jesus Christ. And that leads me to the final point. Because Jesus Christ is our chief foundation, then the Bible says, we grow together. Listen again to words of 21 to 22 of Ephesians chapter 2. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple into the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The key word here, church, is growing together. We are building blocks of God's new temple. We just received new members today. And I hope for those that have been on the wayside, who have never been back into the life of the church, I can tell you this, you are missing a lot. Amen? And we want you to be back. I was able to be able to connect with some of those that are used to be members of this church on Friday. Some of them lives in different places, and they were here for the funeral. And I said to them, please come back here, not in a funeral. But come back here on a regular Sunday worship experience. Amen? Because the Bible says, not because Pastor Edgar says, but because this is what the Bible says. And you're going to miss a lot if you don't engage yourself in growing together. And you're going to be accountable as well for not being a part of a church. Regardless of what reasons that have and I'm sharing this to you all online as well. Regardless of the reason why you have not been a part of this church family, the past is the past. We move forward. Amen? Let's begin anew. God is a redeeming God. God welcomes those who are in need of Christ. Our church, all Christian churches, are in need of Christ. Amen? And there's no such thing as a perfect church. They're saying that if you're looking for a perfect church, don't come to that church because you make it imperfect. What I'm saying is that whatever reasons that hold people back for not coming to the church, you're going to miss a lot. Because the Bible calls us to grow one another, joining together and growing in the holy temple. And that's what he wants for Jews and Gentiles to come together. Set aside all these differences and let's come together, not just in funeral services, but in every aspect of the life as we build the body of Christ together. Let us pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for reminding us that the church belongs to you. And you created us for relationships. But sadly, you've also given us the choice not to avail the opportunity for relationships. And we miss those opportunities. I pray for those who are struggling to reconnect them back to the church. Those whose faith somehow withers away, or they, for a lot of reasons, different reasons, they disengaged themselves, disconnected themselves from the body of Christ. I pray for healing. I pray for revival. I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will renew and strengthen their body, their minds, and their spirit so that they will see the divine plan of God for us to meet together, to gather together, to be in relationship together, to be the church together, so that we can grow together with you, O God, as our chief cornerstone, so that we will no longer be strangers or aliens or wandering exiles. There is a place to belong here at Plank Chapel with as much right to the name Christians as anyone.
May we claim and reclaim the power of relationships. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said. Amen. This is a beautiful hymn that I would like the congregation to sing when I have a service for my own funeral. And I'm sure you love this closing hymn. So if you've been led by the Spirit to come to the altar and rededicate your life to Christ, may this altar be your witness. Let's all stand as we join our voices together. Hymn number 140. Great is thy faithfulness. After the dismissal with blessing, I'm going to invite Jody and Beth and Chuck to kind of join with us there as we recess from this place so they can be able to greet you and also welcome you in the name of Christ. Oh, Mr. Henry. I knew Mr. Henry right there, but I'm trying to be a little low profile, but thank you, Mr. Henry. Congratulations, sir. We would honor you and celebrate that you are here with us, Brother Henry. Friends, there's amazing blessing from God
that we are in relationship. Amen? Amen. The blessing of the church. Let's not miss coming together. And for those of you who have been touched by the Spirit, come back. Rejoin us again. Let's grow together. Let's fill this place again by the grace of God with His power and with His grace. As we go forth, may the Holy Spirit be with us, because we are all created for relationships. And this week, I invite us all to invite someone. Pray for someone that you've probably been praying for. Reach out to that person. Maybe perhaps you will be the presence of Jesus to this person, in the hope that you may invite him or her to be part of this beautiful community called Plank Chapel. As we go forth in this place, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of His Holy Spirit lives and reign with us now and forevermore. Amen.